Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And there it is. Quarterback throw. Touchdown, Miami.
They love playing with him.
Yes, they do. Bobbing him in the end zone.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You know, for all the ladies out there, I'm taken. I'm sorry. And for my wife, get the kids to bed. It's getting late.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Authors of the new book, God Level Knowledge Darts, Jesus and Miro. Coming up, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody. Hour number three of our show. We're excited anytime Aaron Rodgers is on, and he's on this hour. So that'll be great. He's got a pretty big game coming up on Sunday Night Football on NBC. So we're checking a lot of boxes. Aaron Rodgers on the show. We like that check. We're on NBC Sports on Peacock, so we're talking about the Sunday Night Football game. Check. We had Kurt Warner talk about Drew Brees is not dead. He's still a viable quarterback in the NFL, according to him. He says he's just not as crisp as you normally see Drew Brees. So let's check that box. So that's the Sunday Night Football game for Week 3 that started last night as Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know what an exacta is. I know what a quinella is. I know what a trifecta is. I know what a superfecta is. What is beating the Jaguars for six different teams?
Pick six, baby.
There you go. Well, you don't normally say that for a quarterback. It's not very something you want to say.
I know, but in horse racing, pick six is you pick the winner in all six horses races that day.
Well, there you go. The winner is Fitzpatrick. A fit six.
There you go.
A fit six. Six.
So, thing we just had to talk it out.
There's my SCM for the day.
Did we just workshop it?
We just had to talk it out.
Did we just workshop it?
I think we did.
It's six.
Okay.
Well done. Jim.
So we've got a lot to get to. Chris Brockman's news update is about to start. Then Aaron Rodgers will join us. We also have the following to get in. All right. Maybe we'll sneak it in before Aaron Rodgers. The following we have to get to. Chris Brockman, sneaky good games. He's going to tell you how to put your hard-earned American dollars to work this weekend. I'll tell you. The unlockiest lock of the week, where I got this feeling. I'm hooked on it. So far, I'm 0-2 on my unlockiest lock of the week, but I'm so close to 2-0.
We're close.
I said the Bengals would beat the Chargers week one, and I said that the Jaguars would beat the Titans in week two. That close. Literally. Field goal game. Each time. Wrong direction. Then higher register, where we got to go higher register to believe what we're actually telling you is a take. Maybe we'll do that at the end of our your news update, Chris, because we also have to sneak in for our fans and friends the weekly check of Jay Cutler's Instagram. Mm.
Also fun.
It's great.
Mini cows.
Okay. It's not mini cows, but it does involve four-legged beings. That's all I'm saying.
Whoa. Not a chicken then?
All right. No. Do chickens have four legs?
No, that's what I mean. Okay. They're two legs.
Yeah, correct.
Like, I'm trying to guess.
So then, yes, no chicken.
I'm just trying to guess.
It's a nervous bird. As my coach, my alma mater would say, it's a nervous bird. Don't eat chicken. It's a nervous bird. Okay, Chris Brockman, you got your news update. There's a lot going on prior to the bulk of week three activity.
Let's go.
Hit it.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher, what do you have?
Okay, guys, we've been talking a lot about the Jets this week.
Oh, jeez.
Well, Joe Namath was on a podcast in New York, and was asked about Sam Darnold. Brace yourself, Rich.
Well, you know what? In his third year, Sam's not without fault, too. I wasn't without fault in my 12th year, 11th year. We make mistakes. Sam's got to play better, too. You can go back. It doesn't make any difference. When you got open guys, you know, you want to throw the ball where they can handle it and catch it. And it's a collective failure so far. It's not just Sam not playing his best football. I don't know that there's a player on the team that could say that they played their best football at this point.
It's just, Joe is the personification of so much for Jet fans. One, that the fact that we're still sitting here 50-plus years later and he's still the best player in the history of the franchise, that's number one. Number two, that he has all this unending hope. We all do, and it just every year when it's now his turn to go on a radio show and try and stand up for what the Jets are trying to do. What else you got over there, Chris? I know that's near and dear to my heart.
But let's,
they're an 0-2 team with nobody playing anybody that they have in fantasy, literally.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who's playing any Jets. Maybe you think Frank Gore. I mean, if you're totally desperate for running backs, you're not playing their defense. You're not playing their quarterback. And in 2020, that might be the most damning thing you could say about a team. What else?
NFL
Chris?
Injuries heading into the weekend. So
yes,
the 49ers are starting Nick Mullins at quarterback, and George Kittle is out against the Giants. So tough go for San Francisco in New York this week. Titans wide receiver A.J. Brown did not practice Friday. Not a good indication that he's going to go against Minnesota. Neither did Devontae Adams. We're going to talk to Aaron Rodgers in a minute, but his hamstring has kept him sidelined. Today doesn't look like he's going to go Sunday night. Ian Rappaport saying that Julio Jones is questionable, dealing with a hamstring. He's going to be a game-time decision against Chicago. Geno Atkins is out again for the Bengals against the Eagles. Bills coach Sean McDermott said he's confident John Brown is trending in the right direction, so that's good news. However, Zach Moss, so a heavy dose of Devin Singletary against the Rams.
Okay.
Ian also saying Michael Thomas probably not going to go this week.
Second straight week of no Michael Thomas.
So two big offensive players not going to play Sunday Night Football. So
let's just talk real quick fantasy. Do you have any other injuries?
Other injuries.
Okay, but just then let's just pause here for a second. First overall pick in your fantasy draft?
It was probably McCaffrey.
Okay, second overall pick in your fantasy draft?
Either Saquon or Zeke.
Okay, where's Michael Thomas in fantasy draft?
He's probably in that 5 to 10 range.
Right?
Yeah, first rounder.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you got the third...
Devontae Adams probably right after him.
No. If you got the third overall pick in your draft... You went Zeke, and you're happy. If you had the fourth overall pick in your draft, you probably went Dalvin Cook, and you're wondering what's going on here. When are they going to turn this thing around?
Yeah.
When is he gonna have those monster games, running and receiving? When's that going to happen?
But you're talking about the top two receivers probably in fantasy.
Julio.
Maybe top three if you throw in Julio.
Right.
Top two running backs are out. Rough go, man. Hopefully it doesn't happen again. Kittle, the top tight end's out. If you passed on Kelsey for Kittle. That man stinks. All right, some college football, some good news here. Pac-12 announced they're going to play a 7-game season starting November 6th. So Pac-12 is back for 7 games. Also, the Mountain West announced they're going to play an 8-game season starting the weekend of October 24th.
Hopefully, whatever rapid testing that the Pac-12, Mountain West, what is the MAC making a decision too? And they're perhaps making a decision later on today. And, you know, whatever the Big Ten and whatever the Pac-12, whatever change is happening, can we get that in the hands of Notre Dame? Can we get that in the hands of anybody playing the University of Houston? Can we get that in the hands of, because Notre Dame was supposed to play Wake Forest tomorrow. That ain't happening.
Nope. Yeah, Houston may not ever play a game.
Well, hasn't Houston had already half of its schedule? They try to keep scheduling games and can't. South Florida can't. I imagine, again, if there's the rapid testing happens and you catch it, and there's no false positives, no false negatives, and you catch it, you're able to do hopefully what the NFL's doing, which is bubble up in your own facilities. And the issue is for the NFL that you keep hearing is what happens when the season becomes to get a little loose. Your team is 1-4, your team's 2-6, your team's 3-7, your team's 4-8, your team's 5-10. I think you're picking up what I'm putting down, is that you're out of the playoffs, even for a 7-seeded playoff system. You're out, and somebody who thinks that maybe their position is somehow secured for the future on the team decides to just say, you know what, I've been living like I've never lived before, and I'm just going to get loose. The season's over. What does it matter? I'll go here. I'll go there. You just heard in the state of Florida that the governor there is opening up restaurants capacity, even though the virus is spiking, that there are other places that you pick it up and you bring it into your facility, and all of a sudden that team plays a team that's a 2-seed or a 1-seed, and now the whole playoffs are screwed up. Like, that's what keeps the NFL and the NFLPA and the everybody who's been working so hard to keep this league COVID-free right now, that's what keeps them up at night. That's why the NFL is like, screw it, we're fining coaches $100,000. You see Jay Gruden last night? I mean, what's with the Grudens? I mean, you see Jay had the thing, had his mask down. Again, I think play callers feel that maybe if they have something in front of their mouth,
it's tough to even hear that, and it's tough to hear when
it is 70 decibels being pumped into the stadium.
Right.
Even with So all I'm saying is that this is the NFL's issue, that people go home and they might have vectors cross in their house and they bring it into the facility. Nothing compares to a college campus and the decision making of anybody between the ages of 18 and 22 years old. I mean, none of that compares. So I hear this and I'm like, great. Then why isn't, I mean, Notre Dame has more money than
those kids could be in
anybody. They have the facilities. They've got it all going.
Exactly.
Like, why? Because I guess it's a college campus. You know, you're hearing schools across the country canceling spring break right now because they don't want to get all of these schools that are doing as well as they possibly can to keep the kids who are currently on campus and safe. I'm sure they're deep down, they're like, oh my God, we're like, can we keep them here between Thanksgiving and the first of the year? No.
Yeah. No, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, this is what concerns me when I hear it. But I hope it all works out, because Saturdays are obviously more exciting when you're watching college football. What else do you have over there, Chris Brockman?
That's going to do it, guys.
Okay.
One more 49ers injury that just came in. D Ford is out.
What's going on?
With a back injury.
So no D Ford, no Solomon Thomas, no Bosa up front, no Richard Sherman on the back end, no Kittle, no Garoppolo, no, is Ayuk? He's still out, right? I mean,
no, he played last week.
He played last week.
He's
so
back.
Ayuk's in there.
He's back.
So no Deebo Samuel, no Kittle, no Mostert, no Tevin Coleman, no Jimmy G. What in the hell is going on? Wow. And then San Francisco, home for the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday Night Football for Week 4. Hey, if the Giants can't, if the Giants, it's time for them to win a football game, right?
It's time. They're literally playing
the 49ers with one crutch tied behind their leg.
It's never.
Let's do that. Let's take a break right here. We'll come back and we'll do higher register. We got so much to get to, and Aaron Rodgers will be joining us as well. So don't go anywhere. Chris Brockman is going to give you his picks for Week 3, and he's better than a coin flip. That's coming up. Hey, if you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, certainly these days, but you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It's time for you to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time for you to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place. instantaneously. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite. Join the over 21,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/rich. Again, schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/rich. That's netsuite.com/rich. Come up with a voting plan, people. IamAVoter.com, RiseToVote.com, RockTheVote.com. Those are three nonpartisan websites where you can register to vote and you can find out how mail-in balloting works in your state, how early voting starts, and when it starts, and if it has started, and then come up with a plan for Election Day itself, if that's how you plan to vote, and then plan to, and then just know in advance that it's really election months because the election's already started in certain states. And then with mail-in balloting, just know that certain rules apply to your state when your ballot needs to be postmarked by for it to count. And know that it will take time for these votes to be counted. So 2020's wild, people, as we all know. So go to any of those websites and make sure that you can vote. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your phone calls shortly. Aaron Rodgers is coming off of the practice field or a meeting right now. He'll be joining us, we are told, anytime in the next 10 to 15 minutes. And we are eager to take his phone call from the Green Bay Packers, who are taking on the Saints on Sunday Night Football. 844-204-RICH. Or tweet with us at Rich Eisen Show. That's also our Instagram handle as well. Okay, welcome back here on our quadcast on the Rich Eisen Show. Aaron Rodgers, as I will tell you, as I just told all of our viewers on our live stream on Peacock, that he's going to be joining us about in the next 10 to 15 minutes time. So now, we, as you know, have been checking out Jay Cutler's Instagram once a week and giving you the best of the best. Only the finest cut from his Instagram account from the previous week. Our Rich Eisen Show producer extraordinaire, Mike Hoskins, puts this together each week. And I'll just set it up this way. He sent the link for us to play with three words. Jay got goats.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, goats. Okay, we made it. Come on, guys. Nope, wrong way. Nope, definitely not. This way. Over here, please. Yeah, come on. Yep, it's grass. Come on. Nope, definitely the wrong way. Nope, against the rules. Other way, please.
He's like, what is happening?
Hank, you excited?
Ah, there we go.
You look excited, bud.
And they're already not doing what they're supposed to do. Hey, inside the fence, please. Yeah, you. Inside the fence.
Goats. Three of them.
I love it.
Three goats.
And he's got quite the cows,
chickens.
He's got
menagerie going on.
He sure does. It's like old McDonald all of a sudden, right?
Got the beard going on.
Had a farm.
Okay. Let's take a phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show. Sean in Arkansas. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, Rich. How's it going, man?
How are you, Sean?
I'm doing great, man. I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you. Appreciate
you
that.
Bet. Hey, I was calling in just to see what your thoughts were on the struggles of the Philadelphia Eagles this season and where to put the blame, whether we're going to discuss Roseman, Peterson, or Wentz.
Look, man, Carson Wentz is not performing very well at all. The fact, again, that Kurt Warner said in hour number one that he's been seeing the footwork problem and the mechanics problem for years kind of opened my eyes in a way. So the quarterback's got to play better, and the coach and everybody else surrounding him has got to get his mechanics better and drill it into him and drum it into him. And hopefully Alshon Jeffrey's imminent return will be helpful, and there will be a compliment of receivers that he will be able to find because the protection gets better. It's a team effort, as we all know. But right now, this is on Wentz. The team is 0-2. It's a team effort as to why they're 0-2. But, you know, and also Ertz dropped a ball on fourth down against the Washington football team. I mean, these things are all piling up right now, and they need a win in the worst way. They need that W in the worst way.
I've been a fan for 20 years, and I don't understand and want to see your thoughts on, do you believe they're a snake-bitten team when it comes to injuries? Because I just cannot believe the number of injuries that keep piling up with these guys.
Well, if you think the Eagles are snake-bitten, just check out the 49ers and what's going on with them. I appreciate the call. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. Everybody's got them. Few people have a clean injury report.
Very few.
So Aaron Rodgers will be calling in shortly here on the Rich Eisen Show. We noticed when we've been talking to each other for years, that in order for us to sometimes believe what we're saying, we got to go higher register. Like, hey, maybe this can possibly happen. Maybe we need to pay attention to a team that nobody's paying attention to. It's the latest.
And we didn't do it on purpose.
We just started realizing it.
We just like that.
It's a great idea.
So I think everybody has conversations like that. It's not just us. So it's time for the latest edition of Higher Register on the Rich Eisen Show.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen Show's.
That there could be.
Higher Register.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Take of the week.
Okay, here we go. It's our Higher Register takes of the week. Should I go first again? Should I lead us out? Okay, coming into this season, you know, as we all know, the AFC won last year by the Chiefs, and everybody thinking that this is the AFC West is the Chiefs' division to lose, and it certainly is. And we're, you know, wondering if there could be anybody that takes the Chiefs out. Who could possibly think anybody could take the Chiefs out? But the Chiefs are not the only 2-0 team in the division, right? Correct, Chris Brockman?
Correct.
You know, and there's also not just another 2-0 team. There could have been a 2-0 team in the division at the expense of the Kansas City Chiefs. Your Los Angeles Chargers with Justin Herbert needed overtime. The Chiefs actually needed overtime to beat Justin Herbert in an emergency start. You could see I'm already going higher register. You know, and if the Denver Broncos use their timeouts properly in the first week, and then in the second week, you know, Jeff Driscoll almost beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Now, I'm not saying that the AFC West is the best division in football. That's the NFC West. But I don't know if the AFC West is too far behind. So my higher register this week is with the Raiders at 2-0 and the Chargers looking like they are and the Broncos behind Jeff Driscoll looking the way they did. Maybe the AFC West is not all about the Chiefs. I'm just saying, the AFC West, sure, you got the Chiefs, but there are other teams in it that might be pretty damn good, too. That's my higher register for this
not
week.
Not bad.
Thank you.
Not bad.
Thank you. I mean, I thought they deserved a little bit of applause. Just even a courtesy clap. Yeah. I mean, you know, I know.
My bad.
Come on. What do you got, Chris?
Okay, guys, coming into this year in Chicago, we knew it was going to be Trubisky, right?
Yeah.
Financially. But they did go get Nick Foles.
Yes.
So when Matt Nagy announced there was going to be an open quarterback competition, they're like, huh, is Trubisky really going to beat out a Super Bowl MVP? Then the whole pandemic hit and, you know, they just went with the incumbent, Mitch Trubisky. And you know what all he did, guys? He's 2-0. He's won all the games that he could.
That's it.
The first 2 weeks of the NFL season.
Put it in front of him, and he's won them both.
Led a huge comeback in week one.
He did.
Defense started to play well and won week two.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going down to Atlanta, a snake-bitten team in their own right.
Yep.
And I just got to say, I think Mitch Trubisky might not be that bad. 93 passer rating. He has 5 touchdowns. I actually think he might be kind of good.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
Trubisky might not. Hey, look.
Look, suddenly if the Bears are 3-0.
I know. You are what you are.
They could be first place in the NFC North.
That's what Parcells said. You are what you are.
Chicago pizza's good.
Yeah, you could ask.
I'm just saying.
You don't mind a deep dish.
I don't mind a deep dish.
Deep dish is delicious.
All right, TJ, what do you have over there?
I guess
TJ Jefferson.
So look, guys,
make this quick. I've got two this week.
Ooh, they're
real fast.
Bonus, DJ.
The Denver Nuggets, they made it to the Western Conference Finals, becoming the first team in history to overcome 2-3-1 deficits.
I'm aware of that, yeah.
Do you know where we're at right now as it stands between the Nuggets and the Lakers?
It's 3-1.
It's 3-1. That being said, the Denver Nuggets have the Lakers exactly where they want them in this NBA playoffs series right now. This is right where Denver wants to be.
Keep going high.
You know, they're comfortable here is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, it's 3-1, and this is where they want to be. I'm telling you. They were like, we're not even going to start playing until it's 3-1.
By the way, could you tell he wasn't really believing what he was saying until he went higher register and he found his groove? So TJ got his groove back.
You think the Nuggets got a chance?
I'm saying
that's what I said last week.
The Nuggets have the Lakers right where they want.
Okay.
I also think the Celtics are going to win tonight.
and my second and last one, look, man. The Cowboys did everything in their power to not win that game on Sunday, okay? Everything that they could do to lose the game was just reversed, and Atlanta goes, oh, really? Hold my beer. We're going to do something even dumber than you. The Seahawks are hot. I think you said Russ is your MVP right now, Rich.
Yeah, so what do you have?
So what I have is, you know, here's what's going to happen on Sunday. The Cowboys are going to control the clock. They're going to control the time of possession, and they're going to go up in Seattle. And listen, Linda, the Cowboys will make it look easy on Sunday night against Seattle.
No, you got to go higher register for that.
The Cowboys are going to make it look easy on Sunday. Okay. We're going to control time of possession. We're going to keep Russ off the field, and we're winning this game.
Sounds like? This sounds like therapy for a Cowboy fan.
Damn act together.
I think, thank you, Mr. Jones. I mean, because, again, higher register. You got to go higher register to just try and sometimes have a take and believe in it.
Well, sometimes your voice cracks, too.
Other people in the business do an entire three-hour show going higher register. You know?
It's like, stand up.
Honestly, like they'll just come out of bed and they'll just start talking like this and they believe everything they say. You see what I'm saying? Okay. That's higher register for this week, everybody. Good job. Good job. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen show, like, for instance, maybe he didn't care the way that the Packers drafted. You know what I mean? Like that sort of thing.
Right. Well done. Thank you.
He's one of our favorite guests. I love watching him play. I just love everything the way that he goes about his business. He's a Super Bowl champion. He is a future Hall of Famer. He is the quarterback of the 2-0 Green Bay Packers. He's Aaron Rodgers. How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing good, Rich. Thanks for having me back on. It's been a while.
Thank you very much. It has been too long. How's life for you, sir? How's everything? Good?
It's different.
It's different.
Yeah, everything's good. It's just strange. It's been a strange 2020.
It has been. What was it like going on the road? I mean, that had to be weird, awkward, even though it was not a very long trip for you, but that had to be something, right?
Yeah, really strange. You know, just to go from last year playing there for the division in week 16 and just how rocking U.S. Bank can be there in Minneapolis, and then to just have no energy really in the building at all was really strange.
And then obviously Lambeau being empty, that you know, we were showing a shot of empty Lambeau at the top of our broadcast on Sunday morning, and it just looked weird to me. You know, what was it like for you playing in there, Aaron? That'd be something.
Yeah, oh man, probably the weirdest experience of my career, I would say, here. You know, just this place has been so special, so many memories in Green Bay and Lambeau. And then just so many things that make game day that, you know, people who have come and seen me over the years and come to games at Lambeau, you know, just marvel at and laugh about, whether it's the tailgating and just how inviting and welcoming, you know, our fans are to not only, like, you know, people who are from out of town or other teams' fans. You know, it's always, hey, come grab a brat and a beer and hang out, to just the actual things that happen on game day. You know, roll out the barrel and the YMCA and the signs that people bring, and you know, it's a throwback, you know, kind of city and time. And obviously we're one of the oldest organizations in the league, and there's just some really fun things that kind of make up Lambeau Field game day that I really missed last Sunday.
2-0 Green Bay Packers, though, Aaron Rodgers, so that's something that you've experienced before. And also in terms of experiencing before, I had Kurt Warner on in hour one, and he said that just watching you through the first 2 weeks, you look as comfortable as you've looked in, say, your MVP seasons, that when you're comfortable with the offense and players that you have around you, that you excel to the point where you've been excelling this year. Would you agree with an assessment like that, that you're comfortable, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm not gonna say that Kurt is off there at all. You know, I think that's a big part of playing quarterback is just feeling your way around everything. And I think this year, second year in the system, the time we spent in the off season on the Zoom meetings, I think simplifying some areas of the offense, adding to other areas that we felt good about, I think has really paid off. It's for me, that's what it's really been about. And then been about just kind of fine tuning some things. You know, I've always been at my best when I've been able to time up from a rhythm standpoint, a balance, and really time up the routes with my drops. And I just think last year there was just so many moving pieces mentally and then personnel-wise. Being in the second year in the system has really allowed me to kind of relax and be that much more comfortable. And I think, just getting to know Matt and his style of play calling, I think this has been a really nice start to our second year together.
Yeah, now let's get into that a little bit more, because as I'm sure you know, the narrative was that in your second end of your decades in this league, with a new coach, you were a leopard with spots, and he's another guy that comes in, and that maybe it wouldn't mesh. What is the play calling that you now know a little bit more about? What about that relationship currently, Aaron?
Yeah, Rich, I think it's about the rhythm of it. I just when I was with Mike for so many years, you could start to almost anticipate the calls and hear kind of the beginning of the calls. And you could finish them in your mind as he was saying them. And I think that's really been the biggest jump for me in comfort, is to start to hear the rhythm of the calls, anticipate what they're going to be, and then be able to finish them before he's done finishing them. And that's when I mentally know I'm at a really good place. And it's different when you're in one system for, 14 years, with similar language for 14 years, and a new one comes in. It just takes a little bit to kind of see the pictures in your mind. And I think this, the end of last year, this off season, training camp really gave me the comfort that I could really start to see him in my mind and anticipate those calls. And then from a rhythm standpoint, I just really feel like, all the conversations that we've had over the off season, a lot of them were myself and Matt and Nathaniel Hackett, our coordinator, and Luke Getsy, our quarterback coach. And a lot of it was, kind of some philosophical things that was just fun to collaborate on, and just understanding his mind even more. These are just conversations that we couldn't have in the first year of the system, because we're just trying so hard to get the system in, to meld anything from the previous system that I liked, and kind of get on the same page from a terminology. So this was a fun off season to really collaborate and be creative and just kind of see even more into his his philosophy and then how he likes calling plays.
Aaron Rodgers here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple of narratives I want to throw at you here. Do you tell me if this is true, anything to it, because this is what we're all talking about out there and what I'm sure you've heard. One about you and one about the guy you're facing coming to this week. The narrative that you, based on the way that your team drafted, have a monster chip on your shoulder this year and the way that you've shown up the first 2 weeks, would support that theory and narrative. What do you say to that, Aaron Rodgers?
I think I've always found inspiration from various things, and as a younger player, even before I got in the league, there was a lot of slights that I felt about scouting my performance and my abilities and who thought I could play and couldn't play. I think as I got older, you've had to find new ways to be inspired by things. I think if anything, it's almost the opposite. I'm completely at peace with where I'm at in my career, and that's what's freed me up and allowed me to get to this comfort level is the peace that sometimes surpasses even your own understanding. And I don't have bitterness towards the organization or Jordan or anything associated with that. I'm just, I've been working on myself. And I think a lot of times when people, see whether it's a narrative about my, mental state or how I'm playing, it can't just be a positive thing. They have to say, well, it's a shot at somebody or a slight at somebody, or he's he's trying to, you know, it's an F you to somebody or whatever it might be. You know, in this situation, I really feel like it's just I've been choosing to work on myself during quarantine and COVID lockdown, and you know, I feel really good about where I'm at. Matt and I have, you know, we've had a friendship since the beginning. I think it's even grown during this off season. There's a lot of trust there, and we're in the second year of a system that guys are just playing a little bit faster, and we're finding ways to be more efficient. I mean, that doesn't maybe sell a lot of papers or get a lot of hits on the website, but to me, that's closer to the truth than this idea of some monster chip.
So in terms of your receiving mates then, do they have one? Because the concept that you didn't get the help that was required because your if you will, successor was drafted, speaks to the fact that they're not good enough. Do they have that chip, Aaron?
I don't know, Rich. I mean, I think everybody has different ways of being motivated, and I think, you know, Alan Lazard has had plenty of, you know, chips he could put on that shoulder, whether it's Jacksonville trying to make him a tight end or us not letting him work with the green group for the first training camp, even though he was dominating on the other side of the field working against the twos and threes, or the fact that we cut him, or the fact that we put him on the active roster and didn't dress him, and the fact that maybe when we finally dressed him, we didn't play him. So he's got plenty of things he can have chips about. Marquez, same thing. I think Marquez, you know, his thing has always been about his own confidence, and the more confident that he is, the more he can just relax and not put too much pressure on himself, because I think he is such a talented guy. But I have a lot of trust in both of those guys, and obviously Devontae. You know, still need to see some more from some of the guys behind him, but I am proud of those guys, the way they've stepped up and the training camps they've had and how they've gotten off to a good start the first two games.
And then the narrative about the quarterback that's going to be across the field from you in Drew Brees. I'm sure you've heard it coming off that Monday night game. I've likened this. I don't believe in this narrative, I should say, just to start. But I've likened it on this show that he's like the Bernies at Weekend at Bernies. That he's that somebody's going to come out and prop him up and throw the ball down the field for him because he's basically dead, based on the first 2 weeks of his performance. What do you say? What you're hearing about what people are saying about Drew Brees coming into this matchup with you and Drew on Sunday night on NBC, Aaron?
Well, yeah. Look, I haven't seen a whole lot of what's been said. I don't spend a tremendous amount of my time getting into somebody's narratives, but I will say that I you know, definitely Wednesday there was some conversation about it. I think it's always a little bit dangerous to go after veteran Hall of Fame quarterbacks 2 weeks in the season. I think I said on Tuesday that, you know, I remember a few years ago when Brady got and the Patriots got beat up by the Chiefs, and everybody said, you know, Brady's done and might be time to, you know, play Garoppolo, and this is the beginning of the end for those guys. And I think he won a few Super Bowls after that, and a lot of people ate some crow. So I think it's always a slippery slope to start going after veteran quarterbacks early in the season.
I bet. So is there any narratives about the media you want to throw at me, Aaron? It's fine. If you want to do that, I'm cool with that. Is there anything?
Yeah, I'll wait till we're offline, though.
All right. If you want to do that, that's all good. Hey, we've had Aaron Jones on here many times. I love this young man. I love this kid. He is just dynamite. I just think what he has turned into and what he's turning himself into has been amazing. What has it been from your perspective, Aaron?
It has been really, really special to watch. There's some guys who you just can't help but pull for because they do things the right way. And Jonesy is one of those guys. He is one of the greatest teammates that I've had in 16 years. He is the most respectful teammate possibly that we've ever had. I mean, he's still yes sir, no sir to, you know, so many people, you know, basically everybody older than him around the facility. He's just such a great kid, and he is not jealous, doesn't have any jealousy. He cheers for his teammates. He pulls for them. He blocks his ass off. He's obviously a great runner of the football. He can take it to the distance. He's worked hard on areas that he hasn't, you know, that he's needed to improve on, whether it's route running, pass catching, blocking, understanding certain intricacies of the system. he's a great representation of our organization and the community. You know, I think he's made some mistakes. He's owned up to them, and he is, you know, one of the greatest, greatest young players we've got in our locker room, and such a great kid. You can't help but pull for him, and just so proud of what he's accomplished. He adds so much to our team. He's such a dynamic player, and an even better person.
So in a couple minutes I have left with you, one football question, one pop culture. Football question, if you could wave a wand, I asked this of Belichick, I've asked this of everybody else at the top of the, if you will, flow chart in many different ways, players and coaches the last couple weeks. If you could wave a wand and change a rule in the NFL, the Aaron Rodgers wand wave, and the rule would be what? If you could change one in the NFL.
That's a good question.
I love answers that start that way, Aaron. I really do, as a host of a show.
Great question, Rich.
Thank you, Aaron.
I don't know. I feel like that we've gone a little bit overboard on some of the player safety and taken out some of the collisions in the game that I felt like made the game a little bit different. And just I think it's the danger in the game that people – that fans enjoy, because you are putting yourself at risk. Now, I'm not talking about coming out with head-hunting shots and wanting any of those. I just feel like we've gone a little bit overboard with what is deemed as blindside blocks. I think we've gone overboard on hitting of quarterbacks. You know, love taps in the helmet are 15 yards. You know, I think there's some dirty plays that have gotten out of league as far as guys going low on quarterbacks. But, you know, I do think there are some of those plays, and I don't feel like I've gotten a ton of roughing the passer penalties over my years, but I'm definitely not usually bitching for ones, because I feel like, you know, some of those hits are part of the game. And I think, you know, we have taken out some of the dangerous headhunting shots, but I think there's some that have gotten a little soft, in my opinion, that we might need to look at, especially some of these blindside, they're calling blindside blocks that maybe a lineman is making protecting the quarterback, or a receiver is making that, I don't know. I think we've gotten a little bit too far down the line on some of those.
Okay. What are you binge watching, or what did you? You mentioned during the quarantine, you said you were working on yourself outside of that whenever you had spare time. Binge watching what? What is Aaron Rodgers binge watching?
Well, I'm a big Ricky Gervais fan, so I binge watched Afterlife season 2.
Okay.
Then went back and watched 1 and 2 again. I'm on my second time through The Office.
The British version?
No, I love The British Office. I've seen that a few times through, but I'm back on The American Office again. I'm on season 7, second time through since March. I've got a lot of recommendations, but I don't have a lot of time.
And not now. Sure.
Yeah, and 22 minutes for an episode of The Office is pretty nice.
So what's your go-to Office episode? Aaron Rodgers, you say that this is it. If anybody wants to watch The Office, this is the one that's your favorite. What do you got for me?
Oh, it's so hard. I think it's Michael and Jan host a dinner party. When they invite over Jim and Pam and Angela and Andy, and then Dwight shows up with his babysitter, and the scene where Michael's talking about the plasma TV and how he can pull it away from the wall and push it back in is unbelievable. And then, spoiler alert, Jan, you know, breaks it with one of his Dundies. There's just so much to that episode. It's so ridiculous. But that's got to be one of my all-time favorites for sure.
As you know, Bumgarner's a huge Packer fan. You make him happy, so I guess it's only right that what he did makes you happy. It's just a circle of life.
Most
in that let me sneak this in. Do we see Devontae Adams Sunday, Aaron? Any concern?
I don't know. I wouldn't rule him out. I definitely wouldn't rule him out. You know, he hasn't been practicing a whole lot, but I think, you know, if anybody can do it, it's him. I know he wants to, but we'll see how he's feeling tomorrow morning.
Okay, Aaron. Thank you for the call. What do you want me to ask Aaron Rodgers? You said before we let it go, Chris, about golfing or something like that.
Well, Brian Bumgarner.
Oh, yeah, Brian said that
oh my God,
something about golf and your and strokes and things of that nature. Aaron?
He's been telling everybody that he finally finished in the positive at Tahoe after all these years of battling Barkley for last place. He finally finished in the middle of the pack for the first time ever in Tahoe.
Okay. So, okay, that's we'll read between those lines, Aaron. We'll read between those lines.
He broke 90 for three straight days. That's what he's cheering about.
Now he's high-stepping. Aaron, thanks for the call. Always greatly appreciate it. Always enjoy our chats. You keep crushing it, and let's stay in touch down the line.
Likewise, buddy.
Right appreciate back at you. You got it. That's Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers. Nobody like him. Right here in the Rich Eisen Show. I'm sure part of whenever that narrative of Breeze is coming back to him, he's probably thinking, please, just everybody drop that. Drop it. Oh, because did. Breeze, that's the last thing you want to do is face Drew Breeze in a week where everybody's calling Drew Breeze out for not having the arm anymore, et cetera, so on and so forth. But I just love that. He said he's never been more at peace. That's what he said. He
sounded really good.
About what's going on with this. He's at peace about everything the exact opposite of what people are saying, that he's not at peace. He's pissed off. I'll show you. No ill will towards the organization or Jordan Love or the coach or anything, which is great. He's had his inner chi, and look out, because that outer chi is coming at you.
He looks amazing so far.
844-204-RICH. When we come back, we've got Chris Brockman's picks of the week, if you will. The sneaky good games and my unluckiest lock of the week.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. And it's the perfect way to rewatch a game like, say, Chiefs-Texans, the season opener from Thursday night. Catch it on NFL Game Pass. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is really the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, by the way, the reigning defensive player of the year, Devontae Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. It's the perfect way to follow an NFL season. NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
And you can watch Aaron Rodgers and the Packers take on Drew Brees and the Saints Sunday night, 7 Eastern, Mike Tirico and the Sunday Night Football Night in America crew will get things started. And then Al and Chris and Michelle Tafoya and that stellar broadcast team will bring you a big game. What a fun football game this is. Drew Brees coming into it. I mean, I just saw a topic bar on ESPN saying which quarterback needs to play best to keep his job, Carson Wentz or Drew Brees. I mean, this is Drew Brees we're talking about here. He's meeting his moving on to Cincinnati Tom Brady moment. This is it right now. Same thing. You're done. You're done. You're old. You're finished. You're washed. You couldn't even throw it down the field. The average depth of your targeting was 5 yards down the field.
I will say, if they get worked by Green Bay Sunday night, though, it's only going to get louder.
I know. So it is a big game. Big game. Again, on NBC, SN, our quadcast audience is back together. Packers Saints. Huge game. Big game. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers could go to 3-0. And as you said, Chris, right now, if they work the Saints, the questions about whether Breeze can stay point for point with a top-notch quarterback at the top of his game and Aaron Rodgers will just get louder and louder.
It would be out of control.
Did Aaron Rodgers go higher register when I asked him about whether Devontae Adams was going to be plump? I don't know. I think so.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur has said that he's doubtful. So we'll see.
So Breeze minus Michael Thomas versus Rodgers minus Devontae Adams. Let's go.
Let's go. Saddle up. I mean, two of the top young running backs in the NFL.
Rodgers to say I wouldn't rule him out, which is what I imagine is technically the designation of doubtful.
Doubtful, right,
I mean, your 25% chance to play, I wouldn't rule him out. Yeah. Is doubtful.
Yeah, exactly. I think it would take a miracle at this point.
Okay. How did you do? You went 3-0 sneaky good games week one.
3-0 week one, 1-2 last week.
Okay, so we're still above 500.
We're still above 500.
Still better than a coin flip.
Better than a coin flip.
The fire's lit. The fire's lit. Yep. Okay, here we go. Hit it, please.
Here's Chris Brockman with Sneaky Good Games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
Okay, first up, a trio of late window games this week for me. First off, I'm going to take the Titans minus 2.5 in Minnesota. Tennessee 5-1 in their last six games. Minnesota only 1-4 against the spread in their last five September games. I think this is going to be a heavy Derrick Henry game. Vikings giving up the sixth most rushing yards this season. Tannehill has been awesome. So I look for the Titans to win kind of pretty easily in Minnesota.
You're
Send them to 0-3.
You are laying the points in Indianapolis.
I am. This says more about the Jets than I feel about the Colts. The Jets are just terrible. You know, 2-5 against the spread in the last seven games. Just absolutely brutal. No weapons for Darnold. I think the Colts win by like 17, something like that. And then lastly, I'm going to back the G-men here. Just too many injuries for San Francisco to overcome. I like the Giants 3.5.
Now, when you say that you like the Giants to win outright.
I like the Giants to win outright, but
at least a field goal. By that 0.5, right? Yeah.
Yes. So if they lose by a field goal, totally You still win. Titans, Colts, G-men.
Okay. At some point, the Vikings are going to wake up, right? It's not a zombie Viking ship. Right.
No, and they're coached to just
right.
Go
That's what
3
I'm
and 13.
Dalvin Cook is a special player.
Yeah.
Cousins can catch fire. They do have a rookie from LSU who should be able to start catching passes in Justin Jefferson. They do have Adam Thielen. They do have Kyle Rudolph. At some point, they will wake up, right? I just don't know if it's this week against the Tennessee Titans. And by the way, if the Houston Texans lose in Pittsburgh, which is what I am going to predict on game day morning, okay, and we expect the Titans to win in Minnesota, that means it would be 0-3 Houston hosting 0-3 Minnesota in week four.
Houston will have played three Super Bowl contenders to start the year.
Right. Well, I mean, Houston won the division last year. Two playoff teams from last year, as we know, Minnesota was a wild card behind Green Bay, who almost took the one seed. At some point, that's going to happen. So I'll just lay it out there, just in case there are some of my producers and or on-air compadres from game day morning that I'm going to take Pittsburgh in that game. Not just because we had the delightful Devin Bush on yesterday, but I'm also going to take the Colts over the Jets as my lock of the week. I'm locking it in right now.
You're going to come Irv on?
Locking it in right now. When Irv takes the Colts over the Jets, it'll be. And why he gets to go first, I don't understand why he always gets to. I guess he's the champion. We should.
Yeah.
I can't. That segment just pisses me off because learn nothing. You learn absolutely nothing.
Your disdain for it is not hidden.
I know that. Yeah. Well, did you see me last week where I came? I actually made groaning noises towards the ceiling of the studio. Now then, the unlockiest lock of the week here on the show, please.
Lock it down. Or maybe leave it wide open. The unluckiest lock of the week.
You better lock it up. All right, very good. A new drop that doesn't piss the people of ASCAP off, right? Yes, is that basically what it is? Yep. Okay, we took some of the music out. Well done. But I'm still hooked on a feeling.
Okay.
I get this feeling in my gut, and I say this is the way I feel, and take it to the bank, but make sure you leave a little bit at home because it's not a lot that guaranteed. It's the unluckiest lock of the week. And on week one, I said the Bengals were going to beat the Chargers.
So close.
I should have just taken into account that their place kicker to tie the game would have a cramp in the middle of the field goal. I did think that the Jaguars were going to beat the Titans last week. Oof. Again, another field goal. The Cleveland Browns coming off of that big win. They're feeling it. The mini bye. They're feeling it. They feel like maybe you're hearing Browns fans that they've got everything fixed. They got everything fixed. And who is the Washington football team anyway?
Team without a nickname.
Yeah. Well, who played their collegiate football in the state of Ohio? It was a guy named Dwayne Haskins. Right?
I've heard of him.
A guy named Chase Young played his collegiate football in the state of Ohio as well, right? Well, to use, I guess, the song from 48 Hours, the boys are back in town.
Yeah, little bus boys.
Okay. The boys are back in town, and I think the Washington football team is going to put the bang thing on the Cleveland Browns. They're going to come for them, and they're going to. The Browns will be coming out of week three saying, okay, back to the drawing board. Let's see how it goes. The season's not over. We're just 1-2. And the Washington football team will be 2-1, a game in front of the Dallas Cowboys through 3 weeks. These are little cherries on top of the unluckiest lock of the week. That is my prediction of what we will be talking about entering our Monday show.
Wow.
How about that? That's my unluckiest lock
awesome.
Of the week.
That's awesome.
That's my unluckiest lock of the week. Washington football team. First place Washington football team.
That would just be
Don't sleep on them.
That would be great.
Thanks to Kurt Warner, Desus, and Mero. That was fun with them. And, of course, the great Aaron Rodgers. That'll wrap it up for our week. Check out everything on our YouTube stream as well as right here on Peacock. If you missed anything this week, it's all right where you currently are. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.